Bobby versus DD Entertainment, Charles B. Roberts, James B. Foley, Appellant Counsel, William B. Porter, Lori L. Proctor, Appellate Counsel.
Madam Chief Justice and members.
Just a second, please. All right, go ahead.
Thank you. Madam Chief Justice and members of the court, my name is Charles Roberts. I'm the attorney for Tariq Salahi. This case is an appeal from the Circuit Court of Warren County, which dismissed the plaintiff's lawsuit against DD Entertainment on grounds that it violated 8.01.220, which bars suits for alienation of affection in the Commonwealth. It also denied my request for leave to amend without there being a prior amendment to counts 3 and 4. A brief statement of the facts. Mr. Salahi and his wife, Mikkel, jointly owned a successful winery business. The economic success the couple shared in the winery business was further augmented by them starring in The Real Housewives of D.C. and by allegedly crashing the White House India State Dinner Party. As a result of these events, what was formerly just a joint venture between Mr. Salahi and Mikkel in the winery business evolved into a celebrity brand known as the Salahis. In order to handle this demand and to profit from their newfound celebrity status, the Salahis contacted DD Entertainment to serve as a publicist and an agent for the duo. The terms of the arrangement required DD Entertainment to secure entertainment contracts and publicity for the duo to collect funds owed to them and to pay Mr. Salahi his share. This case arises out of the tortious and contractual damages that Mr. Salahi suffered at the hands of DD Entertainment. With full knowledge of the contracts between the Salahis, as well as the future contracts the Salahis were expected to receive, DD Entertainment began to exclusively perform bookings for Mikkel and to solicit the business of Mikkel's secret lover, Neil Sean. Neil Sean is the lead guitar player for the band Journey. DD Entertainment intentionally engaged in such actions as to enhance its own business. As its website indicates, it specializes in the remaking of the public images of mistresses of celebrities. And it wanted Mikkel to become the mistress of Neil Sean. It furthered its goals by paying funds it was under a fiduciary duty to pay to Mr. Salahi to Mikkel and withholding funds belonging to Mr. Salahi, thereby breaching its fiduciary duty. Turning to the assignments of error, the first one is that the trial court erred by failing to grant the appellant leave to amend when no amendment had been previously granted. Rule 1:8 of the Virginia Supreme Court states in pertinent part that leave to amend shall be liberally granted in the furtherance of the ends of justice. Moreover, it is well settled that absent the amendment would result in prejudice to the opposing party. Denial of said amendment would be an abuse of discretion. That's Kidder versus Virginia Birth Neurological Compensation Act. In this case, Mr. Salahi's amended complaint raised counts 3 and 4 against DD Entertainment for the first time, and yet the trial court sustained DD Entertainment's demur with prejudice after leave to amend was requested. There was no argument nor was any evidence provided that DD Entertainment would be prejudiced by allowing that amendment. Consequently, it was both premature and abuse of discretion for the trial court to dismiss all counts with prejudice without granting Mr. Salahi the opportunity to amend. Furthermore, I will argue later, it is appellant's contention that counts 3 and 4 were properly pled and thus actually no amendment was necessary to the complaint. In the next assignment of error, the appellant argues that the trial court erred by finding count 3 failed to state a viable claim for tortious interference with contract.
Didn't the court,
yes, ma'am.
Your assignment of error challenges the court's use of the alienation of affection statute to get rid of count 3, which is the tortious interference claim.
Right, and okay. I believe that's the last assignment of error.
Right, right. But the court also said the same thing about count four, didn't it, to breach of contract?
Yes, and I'm getting to that next.
Okay, well, you don't assign error to the alienation of affection with regard to count four.
I believe, yes, I'm going to argue that in the last part of my...
Well, I'm talking about your assignment of error right now. Your assignment of error only challenges count three.
My assignment error in my brief, I believe we argued that the alienation of affection doctrine barred both counts three and four. That was the order of the court.
The assignment of error just says, maybe I'm looking at the wrong assignment of error. Is the trial court error by holding count three was barred by the code section 1801-220?
Okay. We raised on error, I thought counts three and four as being improper. But if that's what our brief says, that is...
Well, I'll double check and make sure.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Judge. Going back to tortious interference, the trial court erred by failing to, by holding that we failed to state a viable claim for tortious interference with contract and contract expectancies. The standard review under Virginia law is that pleading will withstand a demur if it contains sufficient allegations of material facts to inform a defendant of the nature and character of the claim. More importantly, when reviewing a complaint on a demur, the facts as summarized in a complaint, along with those reasonably and fairly implied, are to be construed in the light most favorable to the plaintiff. On page 12 of our brief, the elements which must be pledged to sustain a cause of action for tortious interference are listed. Then on page 14 of our brief, the elements which were actually pleaded are set out. We believe that the brief shows that the plaintiff pled all the required elements and that the pleading adequately informs the defendant of the nature and character of the claim. The amended complaint also sets out in paragraphs 123 and 124 the improper means used to accomplish the tortious interference. The improper means is important because where you have a contract at will, then this court has held that improper means has to be pled in order to substantiate that cause of action, and we have done so in the complaint.
What is the improper means that you alleged?
That the DD Entertainment was under a fiduciary duty to hold the money and to pay it to Mr. Salahi, and that they failed to do so. I believe in Dunn.
And that caused the breach of the contract between the Salahis?
That was also the breach of the contract, yes, ma'am.
No, but that breach of fiduciary duty caused the underlying or the interference with the Salahis contract?
I would say that, yes, that was not only a breach of the contract, the failure to pay, but it was also a breach of fiduciary duty on the part of
I know, but are you saying that that breach of fiduciary duty was the improper method that was at play that caused the breach and the tortious interference?
Yes, ma'am, I am. Yes, that's exactly right.
All right.
Okay. And it also had the corollary effect of constituting a breach of contract. So if we're in a situation where, for whatever reason, this court does not find that tortious interference is applicable to this situation, then we still have the breach of contract by the failure of the DD Entertainment to pay the money over to Mr. Salahi.
Would that failure to pay the money be the only allegation that you have of improper means?
There are a number of different things that I think we raised and this court can find based on the pleading. I think the pleading sets out unfair competition as an additional element. I believe we said also in the complaint that the fact that this had the effect of encouraging the adulterous behavior between Neil Sean and Mikkel, that was a violation of the adultery statute here in Virginia. So I think there's a myriad of different, so at least three different improper means that are pled in the complaint. In the next assignment of error, the trial court, we argue the trial court erred by ruling that count four failed to allege a breach of contract by alleging conduct, the elements of contract, and that there was a fiduciary relationship. We assert that the brief adequately addresses these issues and clearly shows that the plaintiff pled a breach of contract and conduct constituting a breach of contract. Under Virginia law, A fiduciary relationship is created whenever the property of another is entrusted or placed in the hands of another. That's Hamby versus St. Paul. Clearly, the amended complaint alleges that DD Entertainment agreed to collect monies for Mr. Salahi and to hold them until the funds would be paid over to him. Accordingly, the trial court erred by sustaining DD Entertainment's demur that a breach of contract was not properly pled. As the last assignment of error, and in my brief, I see that we argue the trial court erred by holding that counts 3 and 4 were barred by the Code of Virginia, Section 8.01.220.
But it's not in your assignment of error. It's in the brief, but it's not in your assignment of error.
I will double-check that now.
It's not in your assignment of error.
It's not there.
And so, and count
all right, I think then we're limited to count 3.
Yes, I
would concede that. That's fine. But nevertheless, Code Section 8.01.220 states in pertinent part that no civil action shall lie or be maintained in the Commonwealth of Virginia for alienation of affection. However, the General Assembly's decision to abrogate the common law is to be strictly construed and not to be enlarged in its operation by construction beyond its express terms, and that's Jenkins versus Mayra. Furthermore, Virginia jurisprudence has repeatedly permitted separate and distinct causes of actions to proceed, even though they arise from a state of facts that provide a combination of claims, some of which are barred by 220 and some which are not. And the controlling case, I think, there is Doe versus Welling. And in that case, the plaintiff had filed a medical malpractice action against a licensed clinical social worker who maligned the plaintiff to his wife and who engaged in inappropriate extra-professional relationship with her. In reversing and remanding the trial court's decision to sustain the defendant's demur, the court distinguished its holding in McDermott versus Reynolds, stating, quote, in McDermott, all of the plaintiff's injuries were ascribed to the effect of the defendant's conduct on the plaintiff's marriage. Alternatively, in Doe, this court found that the plaintiff had alleged facts constituting a breach of the defendant's professional standard of care, and that would be compensable in damages even if the plaintiff was not unmarried. In this case is similar. In this case, the cause of action that Mr. Salahi alleges do not involve an alienation of affection claim, nor do they seek damages for any effect that DD Entertainment's conduct may have had on Mr. Salahi's marriage. On the contrary, Mr. Salahi specifically alleged in his amended complaint that DD Entertainment employed improper methods by inducing Mikkel to abandon her contracts with Mr. Salahi and by withholding funds that were due and owed to him. Thus, Mr. Salahi's amended complaint seeks legal redress for lost profits as opposed to an alien of affection or loss of consortium. The lost profits that he should have received under the expected winery and entertainment contracts, as well as monies that were wrongfully withheld. Therefore, we believe the trial court erred when it dismissed count 3 based on 220 by concluding such actions were essentially an alienation of affection. For these reasons, we believe the trial court should be reversed.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
The court will take a short recess.
All right.